Welcome back to Diverse Joy, a podcast where two so-called experts put the joy back into diversity conversations. My co-host is the fabulous and amazing Dr. Will Cox.
And my co-host for this episode starting off the new year is the besequined champagne dress, sparkling and shimmering, Dr. Amber Nelson.
Yay, thank you. So, Will, what is bringing you joy in this new year?
Well, so in addition to being the new year, it's also kind of the middle of winter. And I live here in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, where it gets very cold and snowy. And so we tend to be indoors more. And one of the things that really brings me joy, especially during these winter months, is something I think I briefly mentioned on the podcast before, but my fiance, also our producer, Eric Rowan Binding, and I host a weekly movie night for our friend group. So every Tuesday at 6:30, a bunch of friends come over and we watch some kind of movie. And
so fun.
You got to join us
when
we watched Clue.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Really exciting.
Tim Curry.
My good friend Jack Peppel, who we're going to have on the show at some point because he has an awesome media studies kind of background. He curates the movie nights for the most part, and we do a little series. So like when you came and watched Clue and we had fun with that, that was the start of our whodunit series. And so we're watching a bunch of different kind of murder mystery-ish things. And we did a whole series on food last year where we did The Menu, which was a big...
so interesting.
That was one of them, but there were several. Big Night is a more classic one, Stanley Tucci.
Oh, I love Stanley Tucci.
Yes. But it's always that little kind of sparking joy, which is something we in Wisconsin really care about, because you have to find those indoor activities.
Things to do in the winter,
Not just have seasonal affective disorder and be depressed all winter.
For sure. I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So what about you? What's bringing you joy this January?
Yeah. Well, January, there's so many things. But January happens to be a month of a lot of birthdays for me. Lots of family and friends have birthdays in January. And birthdays just in general bring me so much joy. I grew up really, I mean, surprise, surprise, going like all out for all of the birthdays.
Is there anything you don't go out for?
Not really.
In life?
That's why
we call you All Out Amber.
Right, exactly. All Out Amber. I am like a full force person. So so growing up, I always had like really big themed parties. I did the Super Sweet 16 before Super Sweet 16 was a thing. It's not really a thing anymore. That's dating me a little bit. But I think that there's something really special about celebrating in general, but celebrating somebody's life and who they are and coming this far. Like there's the... Often in our culture, it's really easy to like look down on aging, especially once you get to a certain age. Like all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I don't want to age. But there's something really beautiful about it, and we get wisdom. And like, and my hair's starting. I get a few gray hairs. I don't have that many, but I have a few, and I call them my wisdom strands, and like wear them with a badge of honor. And I just love birthdays. I love celebrating people and caring for them, loving on them, and just making a really big to-do.
Are there any special like party or celebration things that were especially fun or joyful that you might want to share?
Yeah, well, I had one of my birthdays. I always do a theme. One of my birthdays, I did a superhero theme, which was super fun. Ooh. And everybody, and not everybody in my life likes to dress up like I do, like you all do, which is like the best. But most people in my life don't, and they all just like dressed up, came fully fledged. I made like gingerbread cookies and we decorated them like different superheroes.
Aww.
And I just did the whole thing out. And it was just, again, it brought so much joy. It's brought so much joy to them. I always like play games and have themed food and drinks and all that. And so that was just just really fun. Again, it's just one of many, but my favorite thing though, beyond celebrating my own, is celebrating other people and creating parties for them. But I think that the hard part is striking the right balance, not going too overboard for people that have a hard time with like the celebration, the spotlight and attention, but bringing enough so that they feel celebrated and seen and known.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it actually kind of reminds me, if anybody have seen Parks and Rec, Leslie Knope. Like, I'm a little bit of a Leslie Knope.
Yeah, if I can see that.
I'm a little bit of a Leslie Knope. And so like, I really like getting really personalized and specialized like gifts and things like that.
So sweet. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So speaking of birthdays and also New Year's, so, you know, a lot of people kind of set New Year's intentions, New Year's resolutions. I tend to do that more on my birthday, actually.
Oh, that's really cool.
Which is back in November. But like, you know, kind of coming to a new year, I think about, you know, where I am, what's been going on in my life. And, you tend to do New Year's resolutions or intentions. You want to talk about that a little?
Yeah, I usually take the time at the beginning of the year. It's one of the things that I really love to do is to sit down and reflect on like, what did the last year bring? Not necessarily specifically in like activities or the things that I did, but how I've grown, what I took from the last year, and how do I want to be intentional about going into this next year? And usually I think of like, the word that is my intention that I kind of use. And we talked in some past episodes around acceptance and commitment therapy. And a lot of that is grounded in your values, and kind of think about that as like,
what are your values?
Yeah. What's the value that I'm kind of centering my decisions on this year? Right. And so I really love, It's not always justice. I, you know, the justice is always kind of in the background, right? It's underlying all of the things, but, what is the thing that like making my personal decisions on? Is it around intentionality? Is it around, you know, care, self-care, or is it around health, well-being, you know, whatever those things are. And then I think about like whatever decision I'm doing, whether be it big or small, how is it moving me towards this larger kind of value or goal for the year?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and no accident that it actually ties into our main topic today.
What? Yeah. Wow. Surprise.
Yeah. So one problem that I see a lot as I work with different groups is that they kind of fall into diversity efforts, Jedi work, and so they kind of fall backwards into it because some kind of problem happens.
Yeah.
There's some kind of discrimination lawsuit or just employees kind of calling out racist, sexist, or just kind of lack of equitable practices.
Right.
And then there's someone at the top who's trying to kind of manage the PR scandal or employee problem or however it is they see it and fall backwards into, oh, well, we're doing diversity stuff and aren't intentional about it the way we're talking about. And that ends up just causing so much more harm than good.
Absolutely.
So they do things that like are lip service.
Exactly.
Like, oh, well, we're going to put up a bunch of posters of Martin Luther King.
Right.
Which love Dr. Martin Luther King.
Like, of course.
No shame against him. But when some people just kind of use him as like, oh, that fixes diversity, right?
Right.
And it's like, well, no, like it would be, I mean, it's nice to hear some of his amazing quotes and perspectives, but when you're just doing that as a Band-Aid,
right.
No. And Band-Aids are bad.
You
want an organization to be intentional and move forward intentionally. And then that's something that I work with them to do. And I know that's something that you have lots to say about. So I'm going to shut up and I want to hear your thoughts.
Absolutely. I think that so often, and particularly in the last few years post George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery and all of the things that have and the number of folks that have happened even since then. And it really sparked this like movement, right, around diversity, and how many calls I've received about coming to an institution or a space, organizations to talk about diversity all of a sudden, right, out of quote unquote nowhere, because these, you know, it has been happening for a really long time. But all of a sudden there's this spark of saying like, oh, we should be focusing on diversity. But it really ends up being really performative, right? You're talking about that lip service. It ends up being really performative unless the system is trying to say like, how are we doing this in an intentional way? We're actually grounding it in values and we're actually shifting and changing the culture of this space in order for this to be something more than just bringing in a singular training or putting up some posters or adding a tagline in there, you know, whatever that is. It has to be more than that. Otherwise, it's just performative.
Yeah. And it's thinking through your reasons for doing something. Right. Is it because there was a complaint that happened, or is it because at a deeper level, your organizational values are we want everyone to succeed.
Exactly.
We want voices to be heard, inclusion to happen, all the good Jedi stuff we like to talk about.
Absolutely. And speaking of hearing voices, I think a really big part of—
You're hearing voices?
Only sometimes.
I mean, as a therapist, shouldn't that concern you?
Only sometimes. Hearing voices? No, but in regards to like listening to the voices of the organization— is also really important from a consultation perspective and a systemic change perspective that the system is asking their employees, the people within the system, what they need and to listen to them, right? That's, again, coming back to humility and responsiveness, that we need to ask them what they need and also listen and do something with that, because what ends up happening is then the system, if not, it becomes a form of white saviorism, right? Like, I am the head, I'm the one that has all the power, I'm the one that has these things, and I am telling you what you need, and we're doing this thing, regardless of whether that is going to be the thing that folks in the system really see as what's needed, that's actually going to promote diversity, equity, inclusion, justice, that's going to promote a sense of belonging, that's going to promote those things. So there is this piece of systems, while even oftentimes trying to be well-intentioned, it says like, I'm going to do this thing to address diversity, whatever that might mean, and all of the ways that it can come up. But without the input of the people that it's supposed to be helping, it completely misses, right? And often we'll see that that does more harm.
Yeah, and similarly, so you're talking about, you know, moving forward on something without the input from people it might impact.
Mm-hmm.
Also moving forward without any kind of understanding of how organizational change happens. So this is the science portion.
Absolutely.
There's a whole science of organizational culture and how to create meaningful changes. Yeah. And very often our intuitive first step in making those kinds of changes is the kind of stuff that we know fails spectacularly.
Yes.
The intuitive thing to do isn't always how you can actually change institutional culture.
Mm-hmm.
This being intentional, it operates on multiple levels.
Absolutely. And I think, it is also being willing. It's also being in the vein of humility. It's being willing to say, something is not working, and not being afraid to let it go and start over or try something completely different. And I think that sometimes that can be really hard for institutions, organizations, because it's comfortable. They know it does something. They know that they can check the box in some way, right?
Or they have people who have been doing X for so long, and then it's, well, are they going to, you know, offend that person?
Right.
Very
much so. Again, and we talked a little bit about kind of bad diversity training. And one of the things that I mentioned was that sometimes people just don't stay up to date with what are the new things? How do we adjust and adapt these things?
Yeah. And that relates to last month's episode with humility.
Exactly.
And like, we have to understand these things evolve.
Exactly. There's a dynamic process to this. And if we stay stuck and then institutions don't are afraid of addressing things with the folks that maybe are in power or the folks that are maybe even the ones leading some of these efforts but aren't working, then we stay stuck. Systems and organizations will stay stuck, and we have to be able to be willing to step into that space to make change.
Yeah. So as a bit of a summary point, you know, we want these efforts to be intentional. Think about what is it we really want at the deepest level? What's the value? And then what are real actionable steps to get there?
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to take a little break now, and we will be back with story time and the skills and all our other good stuff.
Awesome.
Happy New Year! This is Will with a few announcements before we get back to the episode. First off, I want to thank all of you for being listeners. With the last few episodes, we've reached over 1,000 downloads, and Diverse Joy is ranked in the top 25% of all podcasts. We'd love your help to please bring joy and diversity discussions to as many people as possible by sharing Diverse Joy with your friends and colleagues. It also really helps us if you leave a 5-star review in your podcasting app, or if you're watching on YouTube, click the like button on each video. Those reviews and likes help us to get the algorithms to put us in front of even more potential listeners. So we'd really appreciate it. You can also follow at Diverse Joy on Instagram or like the Diverse Joy page on Facebook. If you do that, you'll get some supplementary information and visuals for the holiday season. We just posted a whole bunch of pictures of Amber's amazing sweater collection and other stuff like that each month. You can also follow us at Diverse Joy on X and Threads. As of this episode, there are 6 more amazing episodes coming in season 1, but we're also getting started on planning season 2. We'd love to hear your ideas for future episodes. So if you have any topics you'd like us to discuss, questions you'd like us to answer, or anything else we could incorporate into season 2, please let us know. We're also interested in things that bring you joy. Tell us a little about yourself and something that brings you joy, and we can share your joy with other listeners. Use the submission form on the diversejoy.com landing page to send us any of the above. We love hearing from you. Thanks again for listening or watching. Please give us those likes and 5-star reviews and send us your questions and ideas for season 2. You're all the best, and Amber and I appreciate you all so much. Back to the show.
Well, welcome back. And we're like ready for story time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a few stories for us.
I do. So, and it relates to our theme of kind of intentionality. Mm. So the first kind of a negative story, how not to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to out the organization I'm talking about, but it was a major university. It was a major university in the U.S., and they had a couple of bias incidents happen.
Mm.
Some negative things on campus, and they were like, crap, we need to do something. It was one of these things that kind of got rushed forward. Mm-hmm. And one of the main things they did, which one hand was good, one hand, as I'll describe, I think was really bad. They made a process for reporting bias incidents.
Oh, yeah.
Which, which that's the good part of it. Like, hey, if people need to report that. The way they advertised it, they had these giant black like posters and pamphlets that just had the words hate and bias on them with that university's logo.
Oh, no.
Hate and bias. And they were posted everywhere. Oh, every department put one up. And so we talked with them, my colleague Trish Devine and I, about why this was bad. So first of all, just the mental association.
That is incredibly activating.
Yes. And then like, first off, it's, oh, here's your university logo. You're branding it with the words hate and bias.
Hate and bias. That
like,
is
no.
Not great.
And yes, as you said, activating like any time that someone sees that, if they're a person who's maybe been the target of hate and bias, that reminds them like, and makes everything just feel like less of an inclusive environment.
Mm.
And actually the real data from that campus showed that it was very inclusive overall, better than average, had good conversations about things, race, sexual orientation, all kinds of diversity topics. But this initiative, just everywhere you looked, it was like hate and bias.
Oh,
and in addition to me activating to people who are maybe more likely to be the target of right. hate and bias.
Yeah.
Also, non-stigmatized, traditionally powerful group
right,
members,
right.
they look around and they think that's what everyone's thinking about me. Like the
right,
white students.
Exactly.
Like, everyone thinks that I'm just a white hater. Like yeah. all these things. It was just... Mm. And I mean, we knew that that would be the reaction
right.
based on just scientific expertise and all the literature.
Yeah.
And it definitely was. The students were so upset on campus. So that's the negative story.
Yeah.
Not being intentional. I think they were trying to do something good with it.
And
of
again,
course.
You know, we mentioned a little bit about like intent versus impact, right?
Oh,
we should probably have a more in-depth conversation about that. But like they were the heart behind it. Was good intentions.
You want people to be able to report it, of course.
But when things are rushed and they aren't asking and getting feedback and that not being so intentional.
Yeah.
It can lead to
And campus
harm.
Leadership wanted meetings with us about, you know, we're bringing in the science.
Yeah.
And we just kind of held up the pamphlet poster thing like, not this.
Right.
Not this.
Oh my gosh.
So negative story. More positive story.
Yeah.
This was a different, this was actually a company, for-profit corporation. They were interested in learning and they kind of came at it with humility again, last month's topic. And they were saying, you know, how do we move forward? And we're interested in being intentional. And what I did, I was like, well, you know, do you have like a diversity statement?
Mm.
Maybe we should do a whole show on diversity statements later. Cause they can, there's a lot to talk about there.
There's a lot to talk about.
They had a really nice one. One of their company's core values was seeking out and amplifying underrepresented voices.
Mm.
And they had actually already worded it really nicely. And I was like, you know, start with your company's core values.
Yeah.
Right here. Like this is what you say. And you know what? Everyone in this company, they see this, like when you walked into this company's building, the core values, there were things about, you know, the products they sold and their relationships with customers, but also diversity and inclusion right there. And I was like, everyone who walks in this building, they see that every day. That's your starting point.
Yeah.
Like they had worded it well. Yep. It's already your core value. In service of that core value, then what are the steps you take that help continue the progress and so on? And so, and I've had a few stories like that, a few incidents like that, where, you know, it was in the moment, maybe they were nervous and worried about something. I was like, wait, let's step back. Look, you have already identified this as a core value. And many organizations and universities, they have. They've already said, this is who we are. This is what we value. And then it's, you know, learning about some of the steps that follow.
Right.
But at that core level, sometimes it's already in place and it's just reminding yourself about
Absolutely.
That. So that's the positive story.
Absolutely. That's really good. Yeah. And as we're like talking about all setting intentions, and here's some ways that can... if we're not being intentional, we can go wrong, we can go right. But I think it really ties in really well with our skill for today. What is...
Skipping the question?
I did skip the question. What is our question? Our audience question.
This question also does, I think, come in here being intentional about this.
About intentionality, for sure.
But, you know, very often we're interested in someone else's ethnicity or sexual orientation or gender identity. But it's not always visibly apparent or posted on their websites or whatever
in
some way. And we talked about that a lot in one of our very first episodes talking about our identities and how our visual appearance isn't always a great cue to everything that we have going on in our identities.
Right.
So this person asks, how do I ask about someone's identity respectfully or should I never do that?
Right. Definitely ask, but... please don't ever say, what are you? Like, I had got that question so much growing up, and I still do. What are you? It's
the fact
really,
that it's a what
it's
rather
a what,
than a who.
Not a who. Like, it's just, it's very othering. It's
literally objectifying.
Literally objectifying. So whatever you do, try it. Just don't say, what are you?
And the where are you from?
Where are you from? Yes.
That's
where
one,
are you really from?
Yeah.
Those questions.
And those are ones that it can depend on how they're asked.
For sure.
But culturally,
Absolutely.
It's become a thing where are you from implies you're not from the United States.
Right, exactly.
When very often it's a person of color who is from the United States.
Yeah. And there are ways, like if somebody has an accent, I usually will say like, oh, I notice you have an accent. Where is your accent from? You know, something like that then allows, it's not, again, it's not so othering. You're you're tying it to specifically what you're asking about. Yeah. And there are ways, like, and you have a really good, great way of asking about it and like kind of framing it. And in conversation, just asking really just simply like, what's your background?
Yeah,
like,
what's your heritage?
Yeah.
That's how I would do it. Definitely in conversation. Mm-hmm. One other way that when we were thinking about this episode that I thought to bring up. So many of you know our producer, also my fiance, Eric Roman Bining. He's an amazing photographer, videographer, graphic designer, podcast producer, of course. And he does a lot of wonderful photography, which you should check out on his website.
Absolutely.
EricRomanBining.com. No, I got that one.
That's not right.
So it's erbining.com. So that's the letter E, letter R, and then his last name is spelled BEINING.com. You can see a lot of his photography going back to his two master's degrees in photography.
So brilliant.
But he cares about representation, obviously, because he works with us. He works with lots of different models. Mm. And he had... I think it started with one model who was racially ambiguous visually, like you couldn't see. And he was like, how do I ask about this? And also like thinking about other kinds of identities, like sexual orientation. He's like, well, how do I ask about this and like not make it seem like I'm trying to ask him out on a date when it's
right.
So and I was like, here's how I would do it. And I kind of helped him phrase this. So he has everyone sign a release. And on the release, I had a little optional section. It's clearly optional. And it says, I care about representation in my art. And, you know, in service of that goal, I want to, you know identities of people I'm worried if you're comfortable sharing some of this.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Asks about their race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, how they identify their gender and pronouns.
Yeah.
And it's all if you're comfortable sharing, willing to share, just in the interest of representation. So it's
Love
clear
that.
Why you're asking.
Yep.
It's clear that it's not because I think you're weird.
Yeah.
Like maybe you don't quite belong, like the what are you or where are you from?
Right.
It's showing you why you're asking and then asking in a respectful way.
Right.
That always offers the person a chance not to respond if they don't want to share that about themselves.
And it really is about creating, it's centering belonging, right? It's allowing increasing representation, but also really honoring all of who you are and what you have to offer versus, again, going on that, like, projecting onto you, right?
And again, as our core topic today, the intentionality. It's clear
intentionality.
What his intention was, representation in his art.
Absolutely.
And asking about it is, I think, a reasonable part of that.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic.
So as you were setting me up,
I was setting you up for our skill in thinking about intentionality. What is our skill for today? Yeah.
So our skill this month falls into that tools component of the habit model.
Yeah.
Tools that help us interrupt or, in this case, prevent bias.
Mm.
And that tool is to, quite simply, think ahead.
Mm.
And so this is true of so many aspects of our lives. Like, I encourage people often to think about, when was the last time you had a difficult conversation with a coworker or a child or a significant other?
Mm-hmm.
If you thought ahead about what you want to say, what you want to get across, how you want to say things, what your objective is from the conversation, what you want to get out of it, if you think that through ahead of time, it probably goes better than if you just jump in without having thought it through and you're spontaneously in the moment talking. Emotions get involved more when you do that. When we're being spontaneous, it's more likely that things like biases and kind of automatically activated psychological states come into play.
Absolutely.
Thinking things through ahead of time can prevent bias.
100%.
And there's a huge research study, or I don't know why I'm calling it huge. There's a research study I really like that showed how gender discrimination comes out in hiring processes. In one condition of this study, they kind of let things just flow where people were being spontaneous in making a hiring decision. And it showed a gender bias where, by and large, people preferred men over women in this hiring decision.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had another condition where people used this think ahead tool. They had people say, when looking for for someone to fill this position, what am I looking for?
What's the criteria?
What are the criteria? How did them commit to criteria ahead of time?
Yeah.
Like, what skills are they looking for, and so on. And when people thought ahead like that, that gender bias that we otherwise saw went away. There was no preferring men over women.
Yeah.
Because if you say, this is the criteria that I'm looking for, then they would look for that. And it wouldn't be that spontaneous,
right,
getting a gut feeling kind of process.
Exactly.
Which very often bias lives in those kinds of gut spontaneous sort of spaces.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's really good. And clinically, we would think about this as like action planning or safety planning, things like that. And that can happen for, you know, any time that we might get overwhelmed by our emotions or things happening, right? Like, it happens a lot with anxiety, right? Like, okay, I need to think ahead. Like, if this thing is like a if this, then that, right? Like, if this is happening or when this happens, this is what I'm going to do to address it, right?
Yes.
Because otherwise we get into the situation and then we fall back into the same patterns and the same routines and we get caught up by our emotions all over again. And then we're not changing our behavior. We're not managing our anxiety. We might have a panic attack. We might have whatever that is. So that kind of planning ahead and thinking about like, okay, I need to acknowledge what is the situation? What are the things that then lead me down the path I don't want to go? And what are the things that I need to do in order to make sure that I am in a good place, that I'm moving in the direction that I want to be going.
Yeah, and sometimes it can be as simple as thinking about how you want to ask a question, like
right,
our question was
absolutely
today.
Yeah.
So now if you thought it through, like, I think asking, what's your heritage is
right,
a nice, respectful way of asking that.
Exactly.
The next time you're in a situation where maybe you're curious,
yeah,
you have those words ready because you've
right,
thought ahead. Like, I like to ask it this way. What's your heritage? What's your background?
Absolutely. And it also helps with things like we were talking about before and around all of these conversations is being action oriented, right? Not allowing our anxiety to get in the way of us actually doing the thing, right? So if we were anxious about how to ask this question before, then I wouldn't ever ask it. And I would just stay away from it and then not necessarily know.
But if
I care and I think ahead, now I have a plan.
Here's a way to ask it that won't make me anxious or make the situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, our final thing, we like to end with a recommendation of something that brings us joy.
Yep.
And then with that, sometimes might also have educational values or just entertainment.
Or just entertainment.
Because, it's about centering joy. All right. So recommendation. So this episode, my recommendation is the movie Prey. That's spelled P-R-E-Y. It's part of the Predators movie franchise. And so it's set in the Great Northern Plains in 1719 and centers around a Native American character named Amber Midthunder. She's Comanche, and actually a lot of the cast are actual Comanche people. And it's gotten a lot of credit for its historical and cultural accuracy of portraying Comanche people and their life and culture around that time, except also an alien comes, which probably not historically accurate.
But
that's really fun and exciting. And so you get this exploration of a culture you might not otherwise be exposed to, but it is just an excellent, excellent action movie with a badass native female lead.
That's awesome.
And it was released with both a Comanche audio track and English audio track, which is really great. And they put a lot of work into the Comanche language aspects of it as well. And I know a couple of Native American people who just really appreciate that representation. In addition to it, it's sci-fi horror fantasy they love.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we emphasize with this podcast specifically is that, you know, sometimes when people say you need to increase representation in the media you consume, that they think it's always going to be work and it's not necessarily fun.
Right.
But no, it can be a fun thing that you're just interested in because you like alien and predator movies.
Right.
But you still get exposure to some of these things. And all that actually positively serves your cognitive systems and
100%.
Helps work against biases because 100%. You build emotional connections to these things.
Yeah.
So really fun. Might be too scary. scary for you, Amber.
I don't know if it will be my thing, but maybe I'll find some benign scenes that I can watch.
Read up on it, because it is really cool how they incorporated Comanche culture and language. Because it's language that I don't think gets produced into films very often.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's so great. What a great recommendation.
Yeah. All right, thanks. So, everyone, thank you for being here listening. I'm Dr. William Cox.
I'm Dr. Amber Nelson.
And produced by Eric Roman Bining, with music by Jay Arner. Diverse Joy is consumable as either an audio-only podcast or a video podcast, both accessible at diversejoy.com. Diverse Joy is the official podcast of Inequity Agents of Change, a nonprofit devoted to the dissemination of evidence-based approaches to reduce bias, create inclusion, promote equity, and enhance diversity. All that good Jedi work.
Jedi work.
Learn more at biashabit.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Oh. Phrase it in that capacity rather than a vague misunderstanding of American history.
Yeah, sorry.
Listen, it's okay. I wouldn't.
Yeah. All right.